You're listening to The Striking Corner, your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Striking Corner. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and this is actually episode 20 of our podcast. Believe it or not, today I will be flying solo. Vinny Scotto is actually out. He is in Miami for a wedding, so he's actually flew down from New York, coming here to Miami. He's going to be here for a wedding. Will not be joining us on the podcast today, but shout out to Vinny. I hope he's enjoying himself, which I'm pretty sure he is. I received a couple of texts from him this morning, so I definitely know he's enjoying himself. Maybe a little bit too much, but I am going to do the podcast today and hold it down. So basically, a little bit before we get in and before we welcome our guest. A couple of news, a little bit of news. The Striking Corner website is now finally up and running. I said I wanted to have it, I think, up sometime at the middle of last week, but I ran into some huge issues, server side and hosting side, and I had to do a whole bunch of stuff to get that thing up and running, and then kind of redesign a couple of things and fix some code stuff. So yeah, I do a lot of the behind the scenes work here at the Striking Corner, doing a lot of the design, a lot of stuff you see on Instagram and all that. I am a graphic designer by trade, so basically I've done a lot of that stuff, and also work a lot on the website, but I have a not too great with coding, so had some help with some friends to get that up and running, but it's finally up and running. With the website, you're going to see a lot of old, I try to structure it so you can see a lot of the old, we used to have these really, really good profiles that we did on some of the top fighters in the United States, like Joe Schilling, Kevin Ross. This was some of these profiles were written a long time before, let's say, you know, Lion Fight took off and Glory took off. So it's kind of, you're going to get a look into, you know, how these guys' careers built up. And these were actually written by a good friend of ours at Muay Thai's Life and the Striking Corner, Galen Okazaki, who now, alongside Jeff DeHillo and Marty Rakitansky, run West Coast Muay Thai. So check them out on Facebook. But he wrote a lot of the stuff for us back in the day, some really nice profile pieces, and took some good pictures and things like that. So you'll see a lot of his work and some of that old, I have some of those profiles up in their own page, so you'll see some of those. And there's a lot of really good stuff that we've written over the years, interviews we've done over the years that I think all of you will enjoy. So check that out on the Striking Corner. And we will be updating regularly. Obviously, a main focus of the website will be our podcast. Definitely have a lot of stuff for the Twitter feed you're going to see on there, our Instagram feed, which I'm very involved on Twitter and Instagram and trying to keep that, you know, really lively and up to date. So you guys can check all that stuff out there. Always follow us on Facebook. And so that's it for the news. Definitely one of the things that, obviously, the reason this podcast, I'm excited about this podcast, episode 20, we are going to bring on a very special guest. One of the things that I've wanted to do with the podcast is take it outside of just the realm of news about Muay Thai. I want it to be something that also involves, I'm very into the culture of Muay Thai. I'm very into to everybody that's involved in the sport. You know, there's no competition really within all these blogs that you see about Muay Thai. I mean, I highly respect guys like Sean Fagan out of the Muay Thai Guy, MuayThaiGuy.com. Huge shout out to Sean Fagan, the guys at My Muay Thai. We're here at the Striking Corner trying to do the same thing, you know, which is promote the sport and really showcase and help the sport grow here in the United States. So the guest that I have today is actually a guy who is a writer as well for one of the longest running Muay Thai blogs in the world, really. And it is, he writes for MyMuayThai.com. He has actually just finished writing a book, really about the Muay Thai experience, but it's a novel about Muay Thai. And he is a fighter. He has trained Muay Thai. He has traveled to Thailand and fought in Thailand. Really, a really interesting character, really good guy, and, a great author, great writer. His name is Matt Lucas. He is the author of The Boxer's Soliloquy, which is a novel that you can find on Amazon. Definitely check out our Facebook page and everything for more links. But we have him on the show today. And we will be back in 1 second with Mr. Matt Lucas. Hello, everybody, and we are actually here with Matt Lucas. He is the author of the book, The Boxer's Soliloquy. He is an avid Muay Thai practitioner, Muay Thai fighter, Muay Thai enthusiast, you could say. He's actually a writer as well for MyMuayThai.com. And Matt, I mean, I'm glad to have you here. How you doing, man?
I'm great. Thanks a lot for having me on here, Eric. I'm pretty excited about being here.
Yeah, man. No, of course. I mean, we're glad to have you on here. Actually, Matt, like I was telling you a little bit off air when we were discussing earlier, I was actually pleasantly surprised by the book, because to be honest with you, I was like going to read it and I was like, okay, is it going to be just kind of like, you know, you read a lot of blogs, people talking about their experiences in Thailand and you know, pretty much, you know, what they went through or how they felt while training. So I kind of, in a way, I mean, I didn't know much about the book, so I kind of went into it thinking it was just going to be like a story of somebody that had gone to Thailand and trained and you're in and, you know, in and out the day-to-day experiences, you know. I realize is now, you know, it was a novel, a great story about taking a couple different characters. I really liked the way it was written. For you guys, I really recommend that you guys out there read it. It's a really great story, but I liked the way it was written in sort of that it kind of jumps in time. So it goes, you know, kind of back and forth through different eras of the lives of the characters, correct?
Yeah. So I guess like it's one continuum, like
yeah,
from start to finish, but it jumps around in terms of like where these people are, like,
right.
You know, one character might just be working and then he's like in Thailand, then he has a Thai girlfriend. You know, another character has this relationship with his dog, and then, you know, he starts fighting and, you know, sort of different things throughout the book. You know, I felt like I wanted to make the book pretty easy to read, and very like simple and pared down. I'm pretty inspired by people like Bret Easton Ellis and Ernest Hemingway and like Lydia Davis, who all have like very like simple, clear, you know, styles. Joan Didion too.
One thing that I wanted to ask you was basically, you know, a lot of times, obviously, you're going to ask this of any artist, any person that is writing a song, any person that is writing a book. How close was the things that go on the book? How close were they related to things that you had? I mean, I know you've, like we were discussing, you've been to Thailand, you've trained, you've fought in Thailand. You've been pretty much involved in the sport for quite a while now. Also blogging for My Muay Thai. And so I wanted to ask you, how much of the book is taken from experiences of your own that you had?
Yeah, actually, I would say that, you know, I've been to Thailand, I fought at Rajadamnern, I fought, like, other places. A lot of the actual, like, what happens to the characters did not happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
There are some similarities, like, you know, I've spent a lot of time working in the service industry, so mm-hmm. I've worked in restaurants, but I've never, like, one character goes on to own a gym. I've never owned a gym before. So there's, like, some similarities, but what actually happens to the characters did not happen to me.
Okay.
But it's like I feel like when you are a fighter, you see a lot of the same cycles going on.
Right.
Like, you know, with slightly different outcomes for people, but, you know, you see it and I think you can relate a lot.
Yeah, Matt, I mean, I definitely believe it's a really relatable story. You know, that's why I said I was pleasantly surprised, because, and honestly, man, you know, I was actually reading this. I was sitting in bed while, like, next to my wife while I was reading it. And I was telling her there was a lot of stuff, man, because I really liked it. I was really drawn to the book for this reason, man, because the reason I got into Muay Thai and the reason I love Muay Thai so much, honestly, man, I totally look beyond the fights. I totally look beyond just the fighting sport of it. I really think I really loved the culture. I mean, I went to Thailand. I fell in love with the culture. I fell in love with, you know, all the things that revolve sort of the ritual of Muay Thai. But then I also like how you tell the story, because one thing that people seem not to understand that are people outside looking in about fighting is I think people just don't realize the amount of sacrifice it is. And I think people, obviously, they relate it to something like boxing, where there are these fighters that are making, you know, mega millions of dollars when they fight, you know?
I think there's just two of them.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying,
it's just Mayweather and Pacquiao.
Yeah.
Everyone else, it makes nothing.
Yeah, but I think people, like, assume that since you're, like, in a sport, you're, like, making a living off of this. And it's really what I there was parts of the book where you're kind of like saddened by it, where you're like, man, you know, I really related, because I've heard it from other fighters that are in the industry and in Muay Thai, and they're kind of like, you know, it really is something that you have to sacrifice so much for. And in the characters in the book, a lot of times have to had to sacrifice a lot of things. I mean, most of them being relationships, you know, that they're very rocky because their partners don't understand what the amount of dedication that goes into it. You know, the jobs don't understand, you know, oh, you can't come to work with a bloody nose, or, you know, with banged up face, that type of stuff. So, there are parts of it where you're like, man, you know, it really is a struggle. And I think, I loved it, because I think a lot of fighters are going to relate to that story. And, as you said, it doesn't draw much comparison to what you went through, but, I'm pretty sure it was an eye-opening. It's an eye-opening read for a lot of people that are really in the game. They're going to be like, "Yeah, this is legitimately kind of how it is right now, man." Muay Thai is a sport that is just right now in its infancy in the United States, and it's really, you know, these guys aren't getting paid much. They do it for the love, you know.
Even top guys like Kevin Ross, who I've interviewed a bunch of times, that guy is not making a bunch of money.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Like, top guys, there's no money in this sport, yeah. Especially for Americans. And even Thai guys, you know, it takes a long time to get to the top, and you're not really making a ton of money. It's, you know, something you're passionate about, or in Thailand, it's like your best economic opportunity.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and it's a job. You know, if you're fighting, it's a job, mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And you're putting your body through a lot of, you know, grueling hardships. It's, you know, 40-hour weeks of manual labor. That's really hard on the body, and it takes its toll in emotional areas as well.
Yeah. No, and definitely. I mean, that's, I really comes through in that, like, there's sometimes, I guess, I got this feeling of there's just a lot of uncertainty, a lot of confusion from some of the characters of where they're going to go, where they're going to take the next step, you know, are they going to make it, you know, what is going to be the eventual outcome of them in the sport? You know, they're constantly looking to get bigger and I think is, you know, and get bigger and better fights, but it's the reality of Muay Thai that you talk about in this book. And the reason I liked it, I really loved that part of it, of how real it was, is that also there's parts of the books where some of your guys don't necessarily succeed, you know, they're not the best guys, you know. And a lot of times that's the reality of the situation. I mean, we see guys like Kevin Ross, we see guys like Joe Schilling that are sort of, you know, really making it in the career. But there's, you know, hundreds of Thai boxers and a lot of guys that we know in the sport that, you know, are still trying to do it, still trying to make it, and still trying to each day by day make it, you know. And that's, I think the book is super relatable to what that experience is to be a fighter. The other thing I wanted to ask you, though, is what was the impetus for writing the book? What did you want to... I mean, why did you decide to write this book? What was sort of the driving force behind it?
Yeah, so when I've always been like a pretty avid writer, keeping a journal, which I really, really recommend to anyone going abroad or like fighting regularly, like keep a journal. It really helps put things in perspective when you look back on it. But you know, when you're training all the time, it gets boring. And so, like, I would just sit, I'd write a little, you know, okay, not look at it for a long time. And over the course of, like, you know, 5 years, I had enough to put a book together. And I was like, oh, you know, this is actually the sort of book I would want to read. Mm-hmm. I wish this book had been out there, or these stories had been out there when I had started fighting. It would have helped me make decisions. So I was like, okay, I'm going to put it together, you know, go through the process. And that basically took a year from when all my material was done, editing it again, getting all the layout done, and getting it out there took about a year.
So the reason for writing it was simply because, you know, you were getting bored from so much of the training and stuff like that. You decided, hey, I want to write a book about it. Or was there some motivating factor there? Was there something that you saw when you were training and fighting that really just decided, hey, this is the kind of story I want to write?
I guess, like, you know, the story wasn't out there. Like, I think it's important for like writers write things that, you know, they haven't read before. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, I've read a bunch of stories that I've liked a lot, but the story of the Muay Thai fighter hasn't been out there. So I was like, well, I'll do it. you know, the Western boxing tradition is pretty, has a fair amount of literature, and some of it's quite good. And you know, now there's like some MMA stuff coming up, but really there's been no Muay Thai stuff. So I was like, okay, well, let's toss my hat into the ring and see how it goes.
Honestly, I think one of the only movies and things that I've seen related to Muay Thai that I actually liked was, I don't know if you saw Chuck D, the kickboxer, yeah. You know, it's, I mean, that was the one that for a lot of us that were really into passionate about Muay Thai was the only one that kind of stuck, you know, to the real deal of it and tried to showcase what it was like to live that life, you know, and give up so much and go to Thailand and do all that. So, I mean, I want to talk to you about Thailand. There's a lot in the book that is, there's a lot of really cultural stuff. You know, it really show, you know, the language. There's a lot of Thai words used in the book, talking about some of the Thai food and the experience of going and eating there. And obviously there's, you know, really, really intricate, detailed stories of or descriptions of the stadiums and, you know, being at the gyms and everything like that. So obviously you've gone to Thailand and you've spent a lot of time there. Is that something that you also wanted to showcase? Because there's something that I feel is important and sometimes people forget is obviously as the sport, and this is something I don't know if you agree, but as the sport gets bigger in the United States and as more and more people do it, you're kind of seeing that some of these things, especially like now with the growth of kickboxing, a lot of the culture of Muay Thai, a lot of the Y crew, the Ramwai, the idea of the cultural aspects of what Muay Thai is and where it comes from, some places it's getting lost. You know, it's something that it gets Americanized, you know, as it gets bigger. Was there an attempt in the book, obviously, to showcase that culture and how important it is?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I think, you know, like there's a lot of cultural clashes mm-hmm. that I think are really important to bring up. Like when a Westerner goes to a foreign country, like it's a totally different dynamic. I remember, I went to Jong Sinan's house, mm-hmm. Jong Sinan Fairtex. So he is from a small town called Nong Budang in Isan. And I went out there, I took a bus, and then I took a tuk-tuk like 4 miles down to his house in the middle of nowhere. And then I just went to this little festival that his parents brought me to. And, you know, there, for some reason, there was a band on stage and there were all these people and the singers on the stage were like, oh, we have a foreigner here. We have a foreigner here. Mm-hmm. And I would like, everyone looked at me and I was super embarrassed. But, you know, I thought it was a really interesting experience, like having, you know, this sense of like otherness that is definitely not going to happen to you when you stay at home mm-hmm. and when you are not engaging in another culture. That said, like, I think a lot of times people misunderstand and misrepresent other cultures, which can be difficult or like, you know, as in the cases with like sort of capitalizing on the sport, you know, cutting a lot of cultural things out, like you said, the Y crew and the Ramwai, and some of the, you know, traditional things that make, you know, the sport interesting or a little more exciting. Mm-hmm. Because like for me, you know, like Muay Thai is a fun sport. It's awesome. You know, you get in great shape, you fight, but like, you know, there's more to it. Like, oh, it's sort of a vehicle to go to another country. It's, you know, this thing where you can learn another language and you can, you know, there's all these different things that are part of it that I think make it more interesting than, you know, a normal sport.
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely, because like I said, I mean, there's as the sport has grown, you're going to see things sort of cut out because, you know, with broadcasting, oh, you know, we don't want you. We have a certain time frame, an allotted time frame that we can showcase on the fight. So we have to cut out the Ramway. We have to cut out the Y crew. We have to cut out the, you know, obviously some people don't understand the music. So they were like, oh, man, this stuff is annoying. I don't want to hear it in the background, you know. So those type of things get cut out. And I understand it sometimes. I mean, I used to. Honestly, man, it used to make me really angry, man, like when they started cutting it out and stuff. Like when I came back from Thailand, I was like, man, I wanted to do everything like Thailand. And I started getting really bothered. Like, why are they cutting out the music? You know, it's so important. People don't understand it, you know. And then I spoke to different people and they're like, ah, you know, some, you know, the common fan isn't really going to want some sort of cultural education every time they watch a fight. Because at the end of the day, you know, they want to watch a fight, you know. So sometimes it's
totally understandable.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, they're going to cut certain things out in order to promote the sport and get it out there and make it bigger and showcase it. And I think in the end, as it gets bigger, you can start integrating those cultural things and try to teach people, and maybe they'll start to get it, and maybe you can start including it again. But like going back to the book, man, I mean, one of the other things that I really you just touched on it. You know, Americans go over there and say, you know, or we look at Muay Thai and we say, you know, it's a fun sport. You know, it's a vehicle to go to a different country and learn so much. But what I really liked about the book is there's also a character in there that pretty much has a relationship and becomes friends with another fellow Thai fighter that is in the camp, you know. And I think it's really cool because in the book, you're so detailed about it. I mean, honestly, I don't know if you've heard of this author. His name is John Burdett. He wrote a series called the Bangkok series.
Bangkok Tattoo. Yeah. I think one of them was 8 or something.
Yeah, so the first one was Bangkok.
I have them. I've read them.
Yeah. So basically going on, I mean, I love that book because it really, you can, I would say after being in Thailand, actually I was in Thailand when I read the first one. There was something about it is that basically the guy does so well in describing like the smells of Thailand, the taste, the feel, the sort of the grittiness of certain aspects of Thailand. And you did a really good job of that in the book, describing what it was like for these to train at these gyms and what it was like to fight out of these gyms. You know, the sweaty gloves that have been reused by like 5 or 6 different fighters, you know, and getting all that, getting ready for that, and how they're like the padding is worn. And so going back to that story or that point that we were talking about, that for Americans, they go over there and they see it as a vehicle to travel to a different country and it's something fun. I think a lot of times this book does a good job in showcasing that for the Thais, it's not that easy. You know what I mean? It's not a totally fun thing. It's not like something that it's a hobby for them. It's basically the only avenue they have to get out of a long, you know, tough life of maybe poverty or working in fields and things like that. This is their only way to sort of maybe make some money. And going back, it's not a huge amount of money at all, you know? So especially for the run of the mill, middle ground ties, the ones that are not highly ranked, even the ranked ones don't make that much money, but they're not you know, there's not a lot of Boakhaos and Yatsenklais. So.
And even like, you know, guys like Sam A who are fighting at the top, you know, how long is their career going to be? How much money can they save? And then what are their economic opportunities afterwards? Mm-hmm. You know, obviously it's expanding because, you know, guys like Sam A could potentially go overseas and teach somewhere, but, you know, it'd still be difficult. I'm sure he has a family back here or back in Bangkok or Isan. So, you know, it's interesting because, like, you know, Americans go over there as tourists and they, you know, a lot of the Thai fighters are workers. And I think that's a pretty interesting dynamic where, you know, you're like, oh, I want to be a worker like you for a little while. Yeah. You know, I want to live like this, but then you can still go home.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas, like, you know, the 16-year-old Thai kids, you know, home doesn't really look that good for them.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And so, moving on from that, I mean, obviously, you're talking about how you went to Thailand. You've experienced that. You've experienced what it is to train over there. What did you ultimately want? I guess, I mean, what did you want to get out of this book? I mean, I know you wanted to write it. You wanted to have fun. You wanted to write it. You said, you know, sometimes you want it. You journal a lot. So you probably journaled your trainings and the experiences that you had over there in Thailand. When you wrote this book, what did you ultimately want to write it for? Who did you want to write it for? And what did you want them to take away from the book?
Yeah. So I wanted to write it for someone like myself mm-hmm. that was super interested in the sport, mm-hmm. that loves, you know, reading and literature, and would just find, you know, something simple and sort of endearing about the book, you know, whether it's, you know, one particular story or another, you know, just having some sort of emotional connection mm-hmm. To one of the characters. So it was a very basic goal, you know. Yeah. I just wanted someone to relate to the story and enjoy it, and really sort of see themselves, or at least be able to see, you know, recognizable facets of people they might know or themselves in the characters.
Mm-hmm. Now that you've the book has been out for, how long has the book actually been out?
I put it out in the fall. Okay. So it's been a few months.
Okay.
Six months, seven months.
Yeah. So far, you know, you sent it to me. I looked at it, and I'm obviously telling you, I thought I really enjoyed the book. Like I said, I went in, you know, thinking something completely different. You know, I didn't read any, you know, summaries about it or, you know, anything about it. So I really went in with a totally different mindset. I kind of thought it was just going to be a journal about somebody who went and trained, you know, and, you know, I hadn't looked up and found out that it was a novel or anything like that. So I was pleasantly surprised by it. You've spoken with other people. I know you were on a friend of ours, which is the Muay Thai guy, Sean Fagan. And I think you went onto his podcast. Mm-hmm. You've spoken with other people. I mean, how many people have you, you know, run across that have read the book, and what have they told you about it?
Yeah, so most people enjoy it. It's a quick, easy read. They're like, you know, this is like a very good sort of summary of the Muay Thai experience. Mm-hmm. You know, for most people, it's going to take like 2 hours to read. You know, so you can read it on a flight and it's sparsed into short stories, so it's really easy to read in segmented settings. And most people have had a pretty good reaction to it. Mm-hmm. So it's been pretty positive feedback so far, which of course makes me happy.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, has this driven you to possibly think about? I mean, I know you write at My Muay Thai, and but those are a lot of things that relating to the sport and whatnot. Has this driven you to write? Are you planning on writing more novels similar to this about Muay Thai?
So I will probably write more. I'm sort of waiting for a little while. Mm-hmm. So I'm moving to Bangkok in the fall. And once I'm there, I'll probably try to write some sort of noir.
Okay.
N-O-I-R. I'm a big fan of like the genre of like sort of dark, gritty, noirish stuff. And a lot of times boxers are a big part of that world.
Yeah. I mean, like we were just talking about, like the John Burdett, those stories, they're very noir, you know, they're very, very gritty, you know.
They're very gritty, and there's not a lot of good, you know, American or like, you know, English literature that comes out Bangkok. So I'll probably do something with that. But I haven't started it. I haven't really been thinking about it that much, but it's a project I want to take on at some point.
Oh man. I definitely mean, just saying, I mean, I, like I said, I liked the book. I remember I like books, to be honest with you, man. I like books that, that kind of can transport. I mean, the reason I liked the John Burdett book so much was because it kind of transport you descriptively. It flows. It's so easy to read it and be transported to that place and just kind of feel everything. And obviously, being a Muay Thai fighter, I could relate to so much of what you wrote about. But I think any person just reading the book, your descriptions about, like I said, about everything, the nitty-gritty, small, little details about what it is to be a Muay Thai fighter, what it is to be at a camp, what it is to go to be in a Muay Thai fight, you know, step by step, like what you're feeling, what's running through your mind when that's happening. A lot of that stuff is touched on in the book, and it's really descriptive. I would definitely like to see, you know, more. I mean, if you're going to head to Bangkok, I mean, hell, you're going to be inspired by a lot more stuff, you know? So, I mean, I definitely think I would love to see more from you, man. So, so moving on from that, man, besides the book, I mean, tell me a little bit about you. I mean, Matt Lucas, how did you get into Muay Thai? Was it something that, did you always have a love for the fight? How did this passion for Muay Thai begin for you?
So I started Muay Thai very recreationally. A friend of mine that had been going to Fight and Fitness in San Francisco, where Boonkert and Nunxiam teach, was sort of teaching me in his basement. Mm-hmm. I did that for a little while. Then I moved to Vegas in 2004, I think. And I went to Master Toddy's very off and on. Then I left Vegas and I moved to Oakland. And I started working at a restaurant, and I've been getting drunk a lot. And I was like, you know, I'm not in school. I need to find a different, you know, activity than abusing my liver. Yeah. Why don't I join a gym and then see what happens? Yeah. So I joined the Pacific Ring Sports in Oakland, and I saw a smoker, and I was like, well, you know, I've read Fight Club before. I've never been in a fight. I should fight, see what happens. Mm-hmm. I fought. I was like, oh, this is okay. You know, I've never been to Thailand. I should go abroad. So I spent a year learning basic Thai at Temple in Berkeley. And I went to Thailand. And I stayed over there for 3 months at Ingram Gym in Bangkok. And I fought. And then I came back to the States, and I was like, I should keep doing this. You know, it was like a really good lifestyle for me. It gave me very concrete goals, a lot of discipline, and I really enjoyed what it was doing for me. You know, it's giving me, you know, obviously a lot of athletic sort of goals, but it also made me more interesting. Like, I started reading Thai, you know, I had like a bunch of new stuff to read, you know, I met a lot of people in Bangkok, mm-hmm. you know, you get exposed to a lot of different experiences, which if I had just been sitting home would never have happened.
Yeah.
So that like was a real drive for me.
Mm-hmm. So I know you've, besides that, I mean, obviously looking, going back to that, to the book a little bit, I mean, there's so much detail in the fights and whatnot. I mean, how obviously you were talking about you started recreationally, but now, you know, it seems like you're really, you have fought. You said that you're going to move to Bangkok. Are you planning on continuing fighting?
Yeah. So I'm 33 now. Mm-hmm. So the majority of my fighting, I think, is behind me. And I recently finished up my undergrad degree in English.
Okay.
So I took like some time off to finish school. So like some of the I've lost some of my momentum.
Hey man, I'm in the same boat, man. I'm 32, and I kind of put it all behind me for a while too, man. So I get you, man. It's there's a lot of priorities that jump in, but.
And it's, you know, it's hard to get the ball rolling when you've jumped off.
Yeah.
So that said, though, I do want to fight again, mm-hmm. especially in Thailand, which, you know, I find a much more enjoyable, interesting experience than fighting here in the States.
Okay.
And I'm thinking about doing a course at Rongsit Stadium where they teach you how to referee and be a judge. And before you can do that, you have to fight a few times. Mm-hmm. So, I think that when I move back, or when I move to Bangkok this fall, I'll probably spend a few months getting in shape. I'll fight a few times, and then, you know, maybe call it a wash or see how things are going.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Okay. So when you say that you want to become, reffing and judging, I mean, I think you were telling me a little bit off air that there's really no way that you as a foreigner can get that, can work as that over there, can you? Like be a judge or a ref or whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, like I think deservedly Most of the positions are filled by Thais, and I talked to Timo Rouge recently, who does an awesome YouTube video called Muay Thais.
Yeah, we had him on the podcast, man. Awesome guy. Awesome guy.
Awesome guy. And he really hit home, a lot of the guys at the stadium, they do their dues. The guy that makes the bells, he's been making the bells for like 20 years. The guys that, mop up the sweat, after each round, it's the same guy with the same squeegee all the time. So I think it would be really hard to break into something like refereeing or judging, especially at a big stadium like Lumpini or Rajadamnern, where there's, people that have been doing it for 20 or 30 years. And then, it's like, oh, here's some white guy that wants to do this. Like, why should we give him a job? And then also, economically, I doubt that it would be very feasible for me to like live off of Muay Thai judge's salary. But, I still want to do it because like I think that a lot of people don't understand how the sport is scored, and I think it would be really good for me to go through that process and see what it's like.
Yeah, and I mean, actually, I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, is there any desire for you after you go through all this? I mean, with the state of how Muay Thai is still here in America, that it's very, I think it's still very young, and there's still so much confusion about how things are scored. I mean, and how things are should be judged different from Muay Thai and kickboxing and MMA and boxing. Is there any desire for you to come back and learn all this stuff and come back and try to impart some of that knowledge and try to make, I guess, since you have a passion for Muay Thai, make Muay Thai better here?
Yeah, for sure. I have that passion. I don't know if it's gonna happen though. I have a Thai girlfriend, and she wants to go back to Bangkok. And, so I'll probably be staying in Bangkok for the indefinite future. So I can't be like, oh, I'm gonna go back to America when, that would end our relationship more or less. So I'm not sure that's in the cards, but I definitely think there's a need for that.
So, I mean, when you go out to Bangkok right now and you head over there and you decide to make the big move, I mean, what are your plans? I mean, I know most of the guys that go out there, they start getting jobs teaching English. I mean, what do you have lined up to help you, I guess, pay your way through living in Bangkok?
I've been saving money, obviously, and really focusing on that. And then my girlfriend, her parents own a house in northern Bangkok. She comes from like an upper middle class family, so my day-to-day life won't be super expensive. I finished up my undergrad degree in English. That way, if I wanted to, I could fall back on teaching English. But I'll probably look into doing journalism, specifically around Muay Thai. I have some friends that work in magazines and for TV over there, so I'll try and do something like that.
Well, yeah, it's funny because honestly, there's a quite a few of you guys out there. I mean, we have John Walcott that he's been writing for us for Muay Thai's life, and I was actually speaking to him the other day, and he's out there now living there as well. You got Timo Ruga, that's his, I guess his family is a part of Champs Boxing Magazine or owns Champs Boxing Magazine. You have Rob Cox, and you have definitely a lot of people out there that are I guess the foreigners there that are the I how would I say the journalists or the guys that are showcasing real Muay Thai from Thailand. And bringing that sort of feeling all the way from over there to America, and at least writing about it and talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, that would be my ideal position to be like, in a similar situation as Rob Cox or Timo or, even John, who, does some really awesome videography. But, you know, we'll have to see what happens.
Definitely, definitely. All right, man. So, I just wanted to thank you for actually, coming on the podcast and talking about the book. I also wanted to once again say, man, that I was pleasantly surprised by the book. I really liked it. I really recommend it. Like I said, I am somebody who reads and honestly, with this podcast, what I wanted to do is because I really feel that, Muay Thai, so a lot of people, I don't want it to be just Muay Thai and talk about, the fights that went on, the fights that happened, who's the best fighter, what's the best fighter doing, what's he training, what's he eating, what's he doing, I want to talk a lot about the culture, and there's culture and the other things, the periphery, the things that happen around Muay Thai that make Muay Thai such an interesting sport. And I think more than a lot of different sports, the fighting sports have that. You talked about boxing, the feeling that it can you can really have this really nitty gritty sort of noir, books and movies written about the life that it is to be a fighter, and it's happening now more with Muay Thai, and especially you being an American, sort of bringing that American voice to it. Because as I said, there's never really been any movies about it. You said it as well, no movies or books written about the American experience in Muay Thai. So you're doing it. So I was pleasantly surprised by the book, man, and I invite a lot of people to read it, and I really thank you for coming on the show and talking about it, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. Obviously, I enjoy listening to the podcast myself. You know, I basically read everyone's blogs as well. So, you know, it's always nice to be like, oh, you know, this person is doing something new. Oh, this person has like this interview up, or, you know, I'm really happy that the sport is growing,
Oh, definitely.
and that people like yourself are taking so much time to put things together. Because you know, an hour long, you know, podcast like this, it's only an hour for the listeners. For the people that actually make it, it's a lot more work.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Oh, man, thanks. Thanks. But I
that you
appreciate,
suggested.
I think writing a book takes a lot longer, man.
It might.
Yeah, but thanks for the love, man. Thanks for the support. That's what we aim to do with the podcast. But really, man, going back to your book, man, like we were talking about, I really feel that a lot of time and effort went into this book. It's really well written. I really like the way the story flows. Like you said, it's continuous, but it jumps back and forth from the experience of one fighter or one person and, their experience at that moment. And then kind of it all comes through it, even though it's jumping from like a different experience at a different moment, it's still the narrative flows continuous, and it's really, really good. And I advise a lot of people to check it out. Where can they find the book, Matt, so that they can get it?
Yeah, so the book is available on Amazon and for Kindle. You can look it up, just Google search it, The Boxer's Soliloquy. You can also look at my personal website, matt-lucas.com, and that will send you links to it as well.
All right, super. So, everyone out there, you heard it. Check out Matt. It's matt-lucas.com. You can also check out some of Matt's writings on mymuaythai.com. He's one of the writers there at that blog, which has been one of probably the longest existing Muay Thai blog, I think, right now. Really got me into the sport a while back, speaking with guys like Napadon, and now you are running it, and I mean, well, being writing for it as well. And so, guys, check out Matt at matt-lucas.com. The book is The Boxer's Soliloquy. Really great book about pretty much if you're a fighter, or you're gonna really identify with a lot of the characters. If you're not a fighter, you're really, I feel, gonna learn that a lot of that fighting is not an easy sport, and there's a lot of sacrifices that go into it for these guys. Besides just the bumps and the bruises and the training, there's a lot of other things that go on. And like you mentioned as well, Matt, like, one person I love to read his stuff is Kevin Ross, and he really talks about the real deal things behind the scenes that go on with fighting. And he's one of our top guys, so if he's saying that, you guys, people have to listen. And honestly, you've been in the sport, you've trained, you've fought, you've been to Thailand. Guys, check out the book, The Boxer Soliloquy, matt-lucas.com. Thanks again, Matt, for stopping by, man. I really appreciated it, and love talking to you, man.
Thanks, Eric.
All right, everybody. So we want to once again thank Matt Lucas for coming on the show and really talking about what, once again, I will say was a fantastic book. I really liked it. Like I said, I think I repeated it a bunch of times in the podcast, but I was really surprised by it. I was actually, it kind of took me by surprise. I was happy. I thought it was just going to be a journal about, you know, training and fighting, but it's actually a really good novel, written really well, very descriptive, and kind of a nice, kind of easy read for you guys that really love Muay Thai and are passionate about the sport. Check it out. Support a fellow Muay Thai enthusiast, somebody who also writes and blogs for about Muay Thai. He is the blogger at mymuaythai.com. And I'll support him. Check out his website, matt-lucas.com. Get yourself a copy of The Boxer's Soliloquy. It is available on Amazon. And I will be probably putting up one of the links on the Striking Corner website. So make sure you can check it out. I mean, you can get it there on the Striking Corner website. And make sure you get yourself a copy. Support a really good guy. So in conclusion, basically to finish up, guys, speaking of the strikingcorner.com, as I said before at the beginning of the podcast, the website is now up and running. We are super happy about it. I am very happy about the design. I really like how it came out. I hope you guys enjoy it as well. It flows really well. I also checked, made sure that it looks good on mobile. I think it, you know, it really does what I wanted it to do on mobile. You know, guys, you can also register for the website so that you guys can be up to date with any of the articles that we post up. And I'm always answering questions. If you guys have any questions or any thoughts, concerns, or anything that you want to talk about the Muay Thai, you know, the Muay Thai community, the Muay Thai, the sport of Muay Thai, if you guys want to talk to us about the podcast, recommend somebody that should be on the show or we should talk to, maybe a story that we haven't heard. Like I said, I want to expand this and talk to everybody that has a story to tell in Muay Thai and really start growing this sport here in the United States. So check us out on thestrikingcorner.com. You can also find us on facebook.com/strikingcorner, on Instagram @strikingcorner, and on Twitter @strikingcorner. I am involved on all of those platforms. Vinny and I are always, you know, on one of the social medias, putting up something that you guys can enjoy. And we are going to try to, really the whole goal has been to be very consistent and really, you know, go into this thing head first. We really want to blow up this sport, and if we can do it as the Striking Corner, man, that's what we want to do. And we really want to just blow this sport up once and for all in the United States. It's a great sport, beautiful sport, surrounded by all amazing people like you guys just saw with Matt Lucas and everybody that we've interviewed at the Striking Corner. So we're really happy, and we really want to give that back to all of you guys. Next episode will probably be in 2 weeks, as we always do. It's a bi-weekly podcast. We are actually hoping that for the next 2 or 3 podcasts, have some really, really good guests and really special guests. So I'm working on getting a couple of people that I know you guys are going to be really interested in listening to. So stay tuned for that. Once again, guys, I want to thank all of you for listening. Thanks for the feedback. Thanks for the support. I want to continue to grow this thing. Reach out to me. Listen, I'll try to get back to any of you guys as soon as I can. You can get me. You can actually find me at eric@strikingcorner.com, or you can send a message to any of the social media platforms. All right, guys. So this is The Striking Corner, episode 20. We are signing off.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner, your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide.